Well, good evening, everybody, and good morning to those in Australia. Good morning, Ian, and good evening, Gav, I think. And thank you for joining us this evening. The Lord bless you, everyone. This is the Bible Believers Podcast. I'm David Mackworth, your host. Now, there's a lot going on in the world, isn't there? And we just heard, sadly, today of another stabbing in Australia, in Sydney. Thankfully, nobody was killed, but this was in a church. We don't know the reasons for this yet, and we are very concerned. We're concerned that this is something which might become more common, particularly in churches. We don't want that to happen. We hope it doesn't happen, but we are living in very dangerous times, not just globally, but in our own nations. We're seeing a breakdown of law and order, and it seems as though more and more people think that they can get what they want by using a knife. This is not the case. This is just a sign that we live in an age, a murderous age, a difficult age. But again, we thank God that nobody was killed by today's attack in a church in Sydney. And we sincerely hope that this is something which is isolated and doesn't happen again. Brian, a very warm welcome to you, brother, in Kentucky, Lexington. Well, there is an aircraft carrier, yes, but I seem to remember Lexington had something to do with the American War for Independence. So forgive my Englishness, but the Lord bless you, brother. And Kim, welcome you to you, and Margaret, welcome, and Lan, welcome in Texas. So thank you for joining us this evening. Our title is Righteousness Exalteth a Nation. Each of us, whether we live in America or in Australia or in England or other countries represented here, each of us lives in a country that is under the reproach of sin. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I think if I was to ask, I think we would say that our nations, whichever nation we're in, is under the reproach of sin, corruption, godlessness, declension in the churches, falling away, darkness, moral and spiritual. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, as well as in the news today, there being a second knife attack in Sydney, again, which we're sad to hear of, there's also, of course, the really big news, and that is, of course, the ongoing tension between Israel and Iran in the Middle East. Lots of people are saying, is this World War III that's going to break out here? Well, we don't know, do we? We don't know what's going to happen next. We know that the situation is very tense indeed, and we don't expect any immediate solution to that. But as Christians, we need to hold our nerve, and we need to recognize that God is working out his purposes in the nations. I would note about Ezekiel 38 and 39, which speaks about an invasion from the north of Israel, I believe Russia coming with Turkey and Iran and other nations mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39. But it tells us about Russia coming up against a nation of unwalled villages, a nation at peace, a nation that can't defend itself. Now, that wasn't the case on Saturday night when Israel defended itself against more than 300 projectiles fired at her from Iran. Even so, these are all signs of the times in which we live. They're all signs of the days in which we live, and we should look up and we should be salt and light and serve the Lord Jesus Christ in these days. Let's read the Word of God. Let's read the Bible. Sorry, Bernadette, welcome, and Amanda, welcome. Thank you for joining us this evening. So let's read from the Word of God. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 14. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 14. This is a very significant chapter in Scripture, and I'll explain why shortly. So let's hear the Word of God. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and of the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give rain, give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Amen. May God bless this reading of his holy word to us. Now, let's pray. Father, we ask and pray for your blessing on our Bible study. The prayer of the speaker is that the word of God would be strengthening, encouraging, and helpful to every single one of us. Father, help us with this difficult yet important material to see how you promise to bless those who honor you, and how your blessing is withdrawn from those who refuse to honor you. Father, help us again, I pray, to be salt and light in our generation, to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ, to speak up for the gospel of our God, to speak up for the truth, to call sinners to repentance, and to set an example to them of what it means that I am a sinner saved by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And so we ask for the forgiveness of our sins. Father, we ask for your mercy in these days. When we hear of stabbings and knife attacks and things like that, we pray, Lord, for mercy. We pray that you would watch over your people and watch over churches where the gospel is faithfully preached. We pray that you'd have mercy upon those who've been attacked. We pray, Father, that you would help us to keep a cool head when the rest of the world is worrying about World War III. Help us to remember that you are the God of all history, that you are in control, that you're in charge, and there's nothing happening in the world today apart from your will and your providence and your sovereignty. So we commend ourselves to you in the precious, lovely, gracious, and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our beloved Saviour. Amen. Amen. So we commit ourselves to the Lord, commit ourselves to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And I trust that people here just now do know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. If you don't, the Lord Jesus is that Saviour of the world, and he will save you from your sin if you turn and you believe on him. Now, why Deuteronomy 28? Well, it's not that long, maybe 2 years since I did a reading of John Calvin's series of sermons on Deuteronomy 28. And Calvin gave a very good series of sermons, but Calvin tended to apply Deuteronomy 28 to his own generation and own day. And there's no criticism there. Calvin lived in very difficult and dangerous times in his own situation. So I wanted to do this to apply Deuteronomy 28 to the days in which we live. Now, of course, Deuteronomy 28, first and foremost, speaks to Israel in the Old Testament, when Israel was a theocratic nation, a nation ruled by God, a nation obliged to God, and a covenant nation, a nation that had a peculiar and special relationship with God, put it in place by God, which separated them from all the nations of the earth. So when we're talking about Deuteronomy 28, what we're looking at is a chapter that tells us of the blessings that God promises to give to a nation that honors him, and the curses that will come upon a nation that refuses to honor him. I want to apply this to our nations, whether it be Australia or America or Ireland, or whether it be the United Kingdom or whatever it may be. But I want to say that we can apply this to our nations. We don't have a covenant with God in the way that Israel had in the Old Testament. But nevertheless, it tells us what God blesses. It tells us how a nation can rise to prominence under the hand of God. And it tells us what God will curse. Now, again, speaking of our nations, I'm aware also of the fact that our nations have been involved in gross sins over the last few centuries, and I'm not by any means brushing that under the carpet or dismissing that. Two examples would be the transatlantic slave trade and also that what was known as the pig trade in China, for example, where multitudes of Chinese men were shipped overseas to be almost slave labor and under the most horrible of circumstances. And of course, there was the opium trade as well between the United Kingdom and China. These are all things which help to explain our situation in the current time, but we won't be looking at those in any depth this evening. But our nation certainly, whilst God has blessed us and encouraged us with his gospel, in many cases, we mustn't belittle or ignore the sins of our nations either. Even so, God has helped us and blessed us because of his gospel. Whatever our nations have been or are, things would have been far worse for us if we had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and we hadn't had godly men in our midst. Now, the lateness of the days suggests that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is really, really near at hand. Maybe he'll return within 10 years. I don't know. And the things that we see in the world suggest that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is really near at hand. Maybe he will return, as I said, in 10 years. I don't know, but I think that's possible, if not probable. But the lateness of the day suggests that it's too late for our nations to repent. It's too late for our leaders to lead us in national repentance before Almighty God and to call the nation to repentance and to call us back to the Word of God. But I will give this message in the hope that if it isn't too late, our leaders and the people of our nations will still turn back to God, will still repent, will still seek him with all their hearts, and that he will restore his gospel with power to our midst and have mercy upon the people in our lands, whatever their background, wherever they've come from, have mercy upon them and save them from their sins through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Now, of course, with this series I want to do on Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to go into the details over several messages of God's curses against sins in nations. But today I want to talk about the blessings that God promises to nations that seek him, blessings that God promises to those who submit themselves to him, who love him, who diligently, we read verse 1 of Deuteronomy 28 there, and it shall come to pass that I shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord. Those who diligently seek the Lord, those who diligently strive to follow him. So we want to consider the blessings that God gives to the nation that honors him and how we long that our nations would be like that. So verse 1, the blessings would include setting these nations on high. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. That the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. A promise to Israel, but a promise to any nation that seeks him will be lifted up. And then verse 2, they would be blessed with that blessing that comes from God. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. There are rich blessings of goodness and graciousness which come from Almighty God when the nation seeks him. One of the problems with our current generation is it demands and expects everything by right, but has no intention of serving God. And therefore we'll lose everything. No matter how much we cry about our rights and complain about our rights and declare our rights and protest about our rights, we will lose everything because we've forsaken God. And then in verse 9, the Lord will establish thee a holy nation. Verse 9, the Lord will establish thee a holy nation and a holy people unto himself. And what greater blessing could that be, there be than that? Verse 13, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command this day to observe and to do them. Now, if that's true of a covenant nation like Israel, then this is something that we are to aim for. We can't have a covenant ever in the way that Israel had in the Old Testament, but we can have a nation that loves God, fears God, seeks God, obeys God. We were like that in England once, and we're not anymore. We're now a nation under the reproach of sin. Now, note those blessings depend upon our diligence in keeping God's laws. We're to love God's laws. We're to love his truth. We're to seek him diligently. We are to desire to follow him through the Lord Jesus Christ, obey him and bring glory and honor to his name. It seems impossible now in England that that could ever be the case, but we were much closer to that 100 years ago than we are now. We had so much and we put it away from us. We had so much blessing from God and we decided that this was our own doing and that we had made ourselves strong, but God had mercy on us and he had blessed us with his blessings. So what are these blessings? Let's look at them in detail. In verse 3, it talks about blessings in the city, in the field. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. And I take this to mean social blessing, societal blessing, in the city and in the field, in the town and in the country, in the streets of and the built-up areas, and in the rural areas. That's not the case in England today. If you were to go into London, you'd find that London is now being described as a very violent city and a place where there is much knife crime and other crimes going on. People don't feel safe in the streets. They don't feel that this city is now a place where you can go on your own, and there are great risks associated with that. Now, this wasn't true when I was growing up, and I was born in London, and London was a beautiful city, and you never felt that London was the way it is now. And you had a stable society, and you had and safe countryside and safe cities. And today, as I said, London, for example, has a fearful reputation for being unsafe, knife crime, etc. And the police seem to be becoming totally inefficient. We see them on our news screens. They seem to be the feelings police in Scotland. They seem to be police who just police people's hearings and people's hurts, but not real crime. They no longer investigate robbery. The Bible says that robbery and theft is sin, doesn't it? Thou shalt not steal, but the police investigate feelings. And if something isn't a crime, they write it down as a non-crime hate incident. Now, how can a society survive that? We aren't blessed in the city or in the field, but God promises to bless us in the city and in the field if we fear him. Scotland was an exalted country when she feared God, but no longer does so. I've seen in my own lifetime, I've seen this catastrophic collapse of the gospel preaching in churches in Scotland, and it's tragic. Now, the safety and security in our society was born of Judeo-Christian values. And that was on the back of the preaching of the gospel. For example, the Great Awakening. We had the Reformation 500 years ago, and then we had the Great Awakening 300 years ago, and other revivals at other times. And these were remarkable blessings from God, blessings that we didn't deserve, but blessings that God gave us and had mercy on us. Now, we need to remember, a safe society is God's reward for a people that fear him. If we don't fear God, we will never get back to having a safe society. We want to, we think we should, we want to employ our politicians and hope that they will find better ways for us and they'll keep the streets safe. But it doesn't happen, because when we forsake God, we lose the blessing of God. And when we lose the blessing of God, then everything reverts to human nature. Secondly, we have blessings in the city and in the countryside. We have blessings in families. Verse 4 says, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground. So the fruit of thy body I'm thinking of here. And verse 11 says, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body and in the fruit of thy cattle. So the fruit of thy body. We have good health. We have children. We have strong marriages. We have family life which holds the nation together. We have family life which is a great blessing to those families. We'll always have families which are dysfunctional, we'll always have problems, but compared to the situation now, we had stable, happy families. Children were not old before their time. They weren't sexualized or corrupted, and they were taught the truth. But God says that if we fear him, we will have essentially healthy families, I'm saying here. Today, our family life in this country, in England, for example, is in shreds. And you know the reasons why it's in shreds. But ultimately, it's because we don't fear God. Same-sex marriage undermines marriage. Easy divorce destroys marriage. We have messed up children who are going to be full of all kinds of troubles and problems when they grow up and in the future. And we have messed them up ourselves in our schools by teaching them things which are so obviously fraudulent and false, but which they, as children, can't see through because they haven't got the maturity or the strength. What foolishness we've committed. We've not only quenched the Holy Spirit, forsaken the blessings of God, but we've provoked God to wrath by the way we've messed up our children. And then we've also taught them transgender ideology, haven't we? And this undermines the very existence of the concept of a woman. Women are being cancelled. Women are being absolutely undermined and belittled and devalued. And this is very sad to see in our society, that what it means to be a woman and what womanhood means is being absolutely replaced by Hollywood's version of women, who are all, if you pardon the expression, kick-ass females who are bloodthirsty and want to do everything that men can do and do it better. And so when God made women, when God made woman, he made her inferior in some situation or some case, but that's absolutely not the case in any sense at all. And when we fear God, God gives us the blessing of stable families, stable family life, and nations that are based on the nuclear family. This has been thrown away, destroyed, attacked, undermined, devalued in every sense in our nation. Then next, after families and health, we could have spoken about health services. God is taking away our health service because of the shedding of innocent blood. I'll say just a little bit more about that later. But blessings in food. We have fears today. Now, for the first time, nobody would ever have believed when I was younger that in England we could have food insecurity, we could be talking about that, yet we are destroying our own agriculture. And you've seen the protests in different parts of the world, and in England and in Holland and in Germany and other countries. And in Ireland, we've seen protests because the farmers can no longer farm. Even today, there was about how small farmers can no longer make a living out of farming, because all of this is to do with regulations and other things. We are pulling the rug out of our own feet. We are ensuring that we have no food security. But here, Deuteronomy 28 is saying that when we fear God, he will give us food security. Verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, in the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. And verse 8, not only would there be, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now that was Israel, of course, but he will give us storehouses. There'll be not just enough to live off, but more than enough to live off. Ian, thank you for your comment. And people today worship the Greek goddess Gaia in Melbourne's Anglican Cathedral, a place where Bibles are not on display. And of course, there is Islamic worship going on in English cathedrals now as well. But the thing is, when people are doing that, Ian, that they have no clue. They're so far from the knowledge of the truth that it's not that they're suddenly going to wake up and decide, oh, we should get back to Christianity. They don't even have the first clue what Christianity is, or how to return to God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the sad thing. So there were these storehouses as well. And to that, we could also add this. And when the Lord makes us plenteous in goods, and in verse 12, though, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain, and unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Now, they're lending to nations and not borrowing. And I just want to say that that speaks of financial supremacy. It speaks of financial security. It speaks of financial might. And we're losing all of that. We've lost our gold standard. We've lost our gold. We have fiat currency, and we've got, we have fractional reserve banking, and we have, on the way, we have digital currencies. God is bringing us down because our financial security depends more upon him than it does on anything else. And we're all talking about building a strong economy, and it doesn't work, and we don't get that. But we're blessed. God says he'll bless us in goods. Now, something really important to say about that is, as Jesus said, a man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of his possessions. God gives those who fear him, who love him first, an increase of goods. And God gives those who don't fear him an increase of goods. If we don't love God, then those goods will be a snare to us. They might take us away from God. It might take us away from loving the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we are focused and fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, everything has its right place. But God is enriching his people because they love him. Now, I'm not a prosperity preacher, so I'm not going to say to you, love God and you'll be a millionaire, because that would be foolish. But even so, make sure that your heart is set first and foremost on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God first, and then God blesses us. Today we have endless amounts of cheap goods. You know what I'm talking about. There's all these cheap goods companies advertising, and the idea is that you can have anything you want, and you can have it now, and you can have all kinds of things. And what good does it do us? We can have our houses, our homes, our flats, whatever we have, we can have them stuffed to the gunnels with all kinds of cheap goods and be empty in our hearts. We're truly rich when we have treasure in heaven, and that treasure in heaven comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But also God is saying here, our industrial, economic, and infrastructure will be established. Our infrastructure appears to be ruined. One of the things they call Britain now is pothole Britain, because you can't drive anywhere without running the risk of destroying your car wheels. And that's just one of the things that's going on. Gavin, this teaching is, yes, we're to draw nigh to God. And this is aimed at saying that we should draw nigh to God as a nation. But of course, if our nation won't, we must be sure that we do. Then next is God's military blessing, verses 7 and verse 8. Lots of talk about the military now. Is Australia ready for a potential Chinese invasion? Is the United Kingdom ready for a potential Russian invasion? The answer in both cases appears to be no. But military, verse 7, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command thee blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. We've said that already. But the military thing is this, that when enemies come against us, God will send them packing. He will make us strong, I believe. You see, when we look at these 300-plus missiles that were fired at Israel, and we look at this extraordinary technology that was used to stop this attack, and I think the world must be amazed at what's happened. We need to remember that this is not just the technology. This is the hand of God blessing Israel. Israel may not deserve that. Modern Israel may not deserve that. But it's a sign that God is working on behalf of Israel. And that's what we expect to see in the last days. It doesn't mean Israel are yet worthy of God's mercy, but it does mean that God's goodness is determined towards them. So note, first of all, the enemy is defeated. Now, that might be an external enemy or an interior enemy, an enemy from the inside. In the United Kingdom here, we had the Jacobite Rebellion in 1745, and we were able to defeat that. But again, we have to give God thanks for that. We weren't invaded by Napoleon, although I'm sure that he intended to invade the United Kingdom, the Great Britain, the British Isles, whatever, and take over England, Scotland, Wales, and Ireland in that time. And then we have the Battle of Britain, and of course most of us are familiar with the Battle of Britain, that we were greatly outnumbered by the German Luftwaffe, and we won. And if we don't see these as being deliverances from God and don't give thanks to God for them, then we're really not worthy of God's blessings and God's mercies. So notice that it was within the nation and without, enemies from the inside. Today we have, our military is inadequate in the United Kingdom. They can't recruit because they've got trouble with diversity and diversity quotas, and that puts off people applying to join the military. If you were, you would have no hope of promotion, or that's, you perceive it as having no hope of promotion if you were white and tried to join the British military now. That's how absurd things seem to have become in this country. Also, we have large demonstrations in London and other places, and the question is, are some of these the enemy within? Iran has threatened terror attacks against America and the United Kingdom if we support Israel. I support Israel. I think that we do well to support Israel. But do we have an enemy within? The police don't seem to be able to stop illegal chants and banners in this country. And it does leave the question open, who is actually running this country now? This is England. And we don't seem to have any defence, civil or international, because only our defence is of the Lord. And only when we're a nation that fears God and seeks God and pursues God and loves God and is diligent in our seeking of God can we expect God to defend us. If God has a plan for Israel, he also has a plan for us, but he has never made a covenant with us or given us promises which will be carried out to the end of the generation in which we live. Britain might, the wrath of God might fall upon the United Kingdom permanently, or any of our countries permanently at any time for our godlessness and our unbelief. We must repent before God. We must repent for God to make us strong again. It is God who establishes nations. Now verse 5, on page 5 in my notes, sorry, apologies. Most important of all is the spiritual. We've spoken about a number of things that God blesses, but this is the most important, the spiritual. Everything else comes from this. If we are a nation that seeks God, what do we read? Well, we read here in verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee and holy people. Sorry, is there something on the computer there? That's it. Good. Okay. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Everything else comes from the spiritual. The spiritual is the most important of all. This means putting the gospel of Jesus Christ first. Not just God first, not just Christianity or Christendom first, but the gospel of Jesus Christ in the nation. Some people will be shocked to hear that. They get used in this day to be Christians who live as part of society, but we expect the state to be neutral. The state is never neutral. Our state is neo-Marxist, it seems, and doesn't have any love for Christianity. But God establishes us as a nation, as a holy people to himself, if we are a nation that diligently seek his commandments. John the Berean, God bless you, John, as well. Thank you. Indeed, Bernadette says, yet the police can stop a woman praying silently outside an abortion clinic, it is. And that's happened. And the police actually said, what's going on in your head? And and yet the politicians who pass that law don't think anything of it. And it's a sure sign that as a nation, we are falling to pieces. God will bless us spiritually when we seek him first. And we can only seek him first when we seek him through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not that the nation should be more religious, or that it should be more like historical Christianity without the gospel. It must put Jesus Christ first. It must love Jesus Christ first. It must elevate, lift up, promote, and glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to know the blessings of God. Now, it's a wonderful thing to think that God could establish us as a holy people to himself. Now, a note there, of course, is that if we're Christians, we are a holy people to God. So this blessing is already ours in Jesus Christ, and nobody can ever take that from us. God has blessed us and made us a holy people in the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to him. We are his. And whatever happens to these nations of which we're members, nothing can snatch us from the palm of God. Nothing can take us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And then next, God also will make us, verse 10 there, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by thy name. God will make us a light unto the nations. This is what we are praying and working for. That's why we have this ministry. We want to be a light to the nations. Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, the gospel must first be preached to all nations. And these days, if other nations want to send us missionaries to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, well, we really need them. We are a heathen nation now, and there's very little knowledge of the Word of God and very little knowledge of the gospel. It's been forgotten within a generation here. But God would make us a light unto the nations. He would use us. And this is what we're praying and working for. Now, I still meet people who come to this country, to England, and they say, we came here because it's a Christian country. Strangely enough, I say to them, well, it was a Christian country, but now it's only a name. There's really almost no Christianity left, and everything is falling to pieces. And they say, but it's still a Christian country, so you don't understand. They say, you haven't seen our country. Well, if England is still a Christian country in any respect, I'm astonished, but it looks as though that soon, whatever's left, it won't last much longer. God will take it from us because we are guilty. But what I see when I look at England is a post-Christian heathen nation, a nation saturated with innocent blood, which God sees, and ripe for an Islamic takeover, which is God's judgment on us for our sins. Only the gospel can bring people and our nation back to God. Only the gospel. Whenever tolerance meets intolerance, tolerance loses. Christianity brings tolerance, but I believe that Islam brings intolerance. And but the gospel, nevertheless, being a spiritual power, is the only force and the only message that can stop Islam from taking over, and that's why we must return to the Lord Jesus Christ. Joe Bays, welcome, and thank you for joining us. God bless you. And so only the gospel can stop our nation from catastrophe, save our nation from catastrophe. God's removed his blessing from us. He will soon hand us over to his judgments. He is handing us over to his judgments, and we are seeing them. But, of course, we still think that we are entitled to these blessings. One of the things that really grieved me when I worked as a doctor for nearly 30 years in hospitals here was that people would come, they would get state-of-the-art treatment, they would get proper care and attention, and they would blaspheme God's name because they were ill. Instead of thanking God with all their hearts for the good treatment they had, all the good treatment we have in our hospitals comes from God. It's all a gift of God. It's all a blessing of God. And because we have, instead of thanking him, blasphemed him, he's taking it away from us. Joshua, the Lord bless you as well, and thank you for being with us. God's blessings come upon those who diligently seek him, and of course seek him through Jesus Christ, who know the Lord Jesus. And we have to have the preaching of the gospel in these days. So my point there is that the spiritual things are the most important. The spiritual things come first. God's blessing first and foremost. Spiritually, everything else follows from that. Remember Paul saying that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Ungodliness needs to unrighteousness. We must start with the gospel. We must start with repentance in Jesus Christ alone. Things that are needed, I believe, just some things I need and some thoughts about in my mind about how, things that are needed to restore the blessing of God to the land, to England, to Scotland, to America, to Australia, and so on. First of all, we need to stop all abortion. It's an abomination to God, the shedding of innocent blood. And stop all abortion except on the strictest medical grounds. Those rare cases where it's necessary, where the mother's life can't be saved, but the child's life can. Rare, but it happens. Not social abortion, not abortion on demand, not abortion up to birth, not abortion for any reason that anybody wants at any time. God hates this. He calls it the shedding of innocent blood, and the blood of all those children, I believe, cries out to God from the ground for vengeance, and that will come. God requires innocent blood of us. So there needs to be a nationwide repentance and acknowledging of the wickedness of this sin. Do we see any signs of that? No. Our governors, our rulers are seeking to pass laws which make abortion even easier to get. And they're just going down and down and down. They have no idea that they are sinners in the hands of an angry God, and that God's wrath is kindled, fiercely kindled on account of such things. Another thing we might expect to see in a nation that's turning back to God is that they stop corrupting children in our schools. when I was a child, we had Christian worship in assemblies. And my experience was we had a Bible reading every day. We sang a Christian hymn. It meant nothing to me whatsoever. But the day I became a Christian, when I was 18 years old, all of that scripture that had been read in assemblies came back to me. So that when I became a Christian, I had a real store of Bible knowledge or Bible understanding. Not understanding. All these scripture texts were in my heart already. So that I wasn't starting from zero with the Bible. A friend of mine at university who became a Christian was from a Muslim background, and he said, you've had the Bible all your life, he said, but I'm just starting now, and it's much harder for me. Mind you, when he became a Christian, he was on fire for the Lord, and I'm sure he's grown much since then. But my experience is that we had Christian assemblies. Now, God requires this in order that we might know his blessing. And we need to, of course, to make a case about teaching and not about indoctrination with LGBTQI plus doctrine and all of this diversity stuff again. But God requires us to instruct our children in the things of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not he wants us to be more religious, or he wants us to be more diverse or anything. God requires our teachers to instruct the children in the things of God. If we go to the Bible, if we would have the blessings that we find in Deuteronomy 28, there is no other way than that we should get back to teaching the gospel in our schools. And yet we find very often it's the religious schools, the Christian Church of England schools here in England, that are the ones that are leading the way with declension, with ungodliness, with unholiness in what they teach the children. It's catastrophic, catastrophic. Now, also, we might add to that, I've just got a few more things to say here, is require the police to police real crime. Stealing is crime. Why do we think stealing is wrong? Because we fear God and we tremble at his word and we believe his commandments and we know that we'll be one day measured up against his commandments, and stealing is crime. And the police, the Scottish police, for example, should be dealing with crime, not with people's hurt feelings. There's this ridiculous case at the moment of a 74-year-old woman who was arrested and taken to a police station simply because her neighbour made a false allegation against her. And this is just absolute, and the people of Scotland are, I think they're furious about it, because they want police that protect them. They want police that uphold biblical morality. And yet, as I know from my own experience, the police don't seem to understand the difference between right and wrong so often these days, because the police themselves have been fed woke ideology. And so they have non-crime hate incidents. Now, the next thing that we should do as a nation in order to return to God is have national days of repentance. This has been done in the past. If we have national days of repentance, it needs to be explained very clearly to the nation why we need these. We are under the wrath of God. We need to humble ourselves before God. We need to abase ourselves before God. We need to cry out for mercy. These should be led by the king, King Charles, ministers. Remember the king of Nineveh who said, "Let all cry aloud to God mightily. Who can tell if he will turn from his fierce wrath and anger?" And God did. He had mercy on them. So would that King Charles would be like the king of Nineveh and lead the nation in genuine heartfelt repentance. Nothing less will do before Almighty God. And then also, of course, the king claims to be the head of the church. Now, if he claims to be the head of the church, Jesus Christ is the true head of the church. But let him at least prove his commitment to the gospel. Otherwise, he will only store up for himself wrath against the day of God's wrath. And then we need to restore biblical marriage between a man and a woman for life and stop easy divorce. Same-sex marriage brings the wrath of God on the land because it perverts and pollutes that which God has declared pure. The crazy thing to me is this, that not only is it obvious that marriage is to be between a man and a woman, but it's not obvious to these politicians and the people generally that it's not to be between two people of the same sex, showing that really, because we've forsaken God's word, we've forsaken the Bible, we no longer know who we are, human beings created male and female in the image of God. Our concept of marriage is absolutely minimal and absolutely unbiblical. Same-sex marriage brings the wrath of God on the land because it perverts and pollutes that which God has declared pure. interesting thing is 10 years ago when they brought in same-sex marriage in England, it wasn't clear whether it was a crime or not to say I believe in traditional marriage, and I said it in the open air, and others have been arrested for this, and I got interviewed by the police on the streets because I said that I believe in traditional marriage. That was 10 years ago. Now, the Prime Minister at the time, Theresa May, said that we were allowed to say that we believe in traditional marriage, so that settled that issue for the time being. But it's incredible, isn't it? So I want to say this, that same-sex marriage brings the wrath of God onto the land because it perverts and pollutes that which God has declared pure. Marriage is honorable among all, Hebrews tells us, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. But marriage is between a man and a woman, according to God. Anything else isn't marriage. Now, most of all, we need to declare the United Kingdom a Christian nation. We need to state a recognized Christian creed like we have done in the past, for example, the 39 Articles of the Church of England. And this doesn't mean that other religions aren't free to function in the United Kingdom, but we need to stop giving them favor, pandering to them. We need to say that Christianity is different, that as a nation, we are a Christian nation, that we have Christian teaching, we have Christian laws, we have Christian standards, and we support Christianity. And that is what we need to do. Now, people will say, well, that's ridiculous. You can't do that. But of course, what we're doing is we're supporting intolerant religions, which are going to take over. And that's a judgment from God. God requires our rulers, God requires our king and our prime minister and others to uphold his laws, to uphold his gospel, to uphold his truth, to uphold the knowledge of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to return to teaching that in schools, to return to requiring Judeo-Christian values in the police and in the laws and in the courts of our lands, and also state clearly in public that we're not an Islamic nation, we're not going to be an Islamic nation, and to speak publicly and to have open and public debate about the teachings of the Quran on violence and jihad towards non-Muslims. Because if we can't have that debate and we can't say that publicly, then we are going to be Islamic soon and nobody can stop us. The nation needs to uphold and declare the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. A Trinitarian God we serve. Now, it's not as if we haven't had truth, and it's not as if we haven't had Bibles, and it's not as if we haven't had church documents which teach us this. But we've become exceedingly wicked and exceedingly far from these things, and all these troubles are coming upon us because we have forsaken sound doctrine and the truth. It is the duty of the people who lead this country to defend the name of Jesus. To defend his name in the media, to defend his name in the press, and so on and so forth. Now, of course, it's also the duty of them to appoint archbishops, such as the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Archbishop of York, who love the Bible and who teach the Bible and who thunder the Bible from their pulpits and who stand up for the Bible and teach the truth of God. You may be aware and know that the Church of England has forsaken these things, has put away these things, has forgotten these things. I was there last November when the General Synod of the Church of England voted to bless sodomy in the church buildings, and that really, if anything in this nation is a provocation to Almighty God, then that is. And it's no wonder that the green flag of Islam was flying at the tower of Westminster Abbey, the United Kingdom's most important church building officially. So let's ask, are we anywhere near this? Are politicians repenting, the people of our land repenting, the bishops and ministers repenting and preaching the word of God? We're nowhere near that. There is no vision, there is no desire, there is no concept, there is no perception of the truth of the gospel. And yet that is what God requires of our nation. And it's the only way that we can have the blessing of God. God's promises to bless. If we were that nation that repented and turned back and mourned and lamented over our sins, the shedding of innocent blood and sexual immorality and all of these other things, then God would have mercy on us. If we lifted up the name of Jesus and spoke the truth and delighted in him and set forth the gospel and rejoiced in it, then God would have mercy on us. Now, at the moment, I can't see any signs that that's happening, but we are preaching the gospel, and we must have confidence in preaching this gospel. We are desiring to call this nation and other nations to repentance through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but only God can enable us to do that. So we must still sow in hope the power of this gospel. Thank you, Bernadette. Far from it, she says. Believing in the power of this gospel, believing in the blood that cleanses from all sin. Now, as I said, I think the time is very close. I think the things going on in the Middle East could blow up into something that leads to very significant events, maybe the rise of Antichrist and the division of the world into 10 nations, or something like that, or even the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if our nation has any time at all, even a little time, then the thing that God requires of her is not to pursue her sports, her Wimbledon, her Grand Nationals and everything else, horse racing, but to repent. Not to spend her time with Netflix, but to spend her time with the Bible, seeking God with all her heart. Not to spend her time having fun, but to spend her time mourning and weeping and lamenting before God over sins and over the wickedness of our land and over the wickedness of our own hearts. Maybe there would be then the turning of God's wrath away from us, but we might only save ourselves. It's good if we save ourselves. If you don't know Jesus Christ, please turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Please find him to be your savior from sin. He died on the cross. He died in the place of sinners. He laid down his life. He laid down his life and became a sacrifice for sin, so that we who are sinners would find the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God, and the salvation which comes from God if we find the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's way of salvation. And the nation can only be great when it puts the Lord Jesus Christ first in all things. But we can be saved, whatever the nation state, we can be saved by faith in him, because he will save us from our sins when we repent and we believe on him. If as a nation we did these things, then we would be like the nation in verse 13 of Deuteronomy chapter 28. For the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. God would make us the head and not the tail. I think we could say of England that we were once the head, and now we are the tail. Nobody takes us seriously anymore. We have no financial strength. We have no military strength. We have no moral strength. We have no Christian strength left. Oh, may God have mercy upon our nations and also the other nations represented here. Thank you, Bernadette. Bernadette says, preach in season and out of season. We must keep preaching the gospel. We must sow in hope in these days. Father, we ask and pray that you would help us to be prayerful for our nations. Nations represented here, Lord, Ireland and Scotland and America, Lord, and Australia and England, Lord, and other nations. Father, help us to be salt and light. Help us to be a city set upon a hill. Father, help us to be honoring the Lord Jesus Christ by calling the nations to repentance, by calling people to repent of their sins. Our prime ministers, Lord, our ministers, our king, Lord, in England. And, oh, Lord God, have mercy, we pray, on the royal family here. But, Father, I pray that you'd have mercy upon your church. I know that you're calling us out. I know that you're purifying us. I know that you're preparing us, Lord. May we not be found wanting in the day of trial and tribulation. May we be found to be walking in the Lord Jesus and faithful unto death. Oh, Lord our God, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for his love for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you've done for us. Thank you that you have mercy upon us. Thank you that you have given us this blessing, and you have had mercy upon us. You have established us a holy people unto yourself through Jesus Christ, through his blood and through your Holy Spirit, giving us new hearts and opening our eyes and bringing us into a saving relationship with him. Father, raise up the preaching of the gospel in these days. Make the people hungry for God. just as they were in John Wesley's day when he preached in Newcastle and thousands gathered because they were hungry for God. They were ignorant of the gospel, but they were hungry for God and they listened. Oh, Father, as we hear of the threat of World War III, and people still seem to think that life will go on as it is and nothing could ever change and there's no threat to us. Father, I pray that what might happen would come upon people and a hunger for God would come with it. That people put away their cheap plastic ornaments and their entertainments, Lord, and seek the Lord Jesus Christ with all their hearts. And be with us, Father. Help us. Have mercy upon each one here and those who attend this this Bible study. Lord, help us also. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon our families, our children, Lord, our those of us that have spouses. Have mercy upon them, Lord. And have mercy upon us and help us to love and serve and follow Jesus in these days. Forgive us, Father, for our sins. And revive us by your Holy Spirit's power. And this we ask in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. So we do long in these days, don't we, to see God work, and we don't think, you know, we don't look at what's going on in the Middle East and say, well, that's just an entirely random event. We say God is working here. Whatever happens is in God's hands. I think the defeat of the missiles wasn't just technology. I think it was also the hand of God defending Israel. But we'll have to wait and see what happens next. This is far from over. We know there's going to be more action. We know there's going to be more missiles and more defences and more attacks and all kinds of things. And as Christians, we should look up. But I'd be very happy if people started to say, well, we're not secure and we don't know what's going to happen. We better seek God. And make melody in your heart. That's great to see you. Thank you for being with us. And very much wanting that. Again, for those of you who haven't seen it on the other channel, I put up a three episodes of John Wesley's journal. I absolutely love John Wesley's journal. Every time I read, there's something incredible there, which is a big encouragement to me. And yet there's very few hits on it. Nobody seems to love it apart from me, so I'm surprised about that. One or two maybe, but this Wesley in Newcastle and just throughout the nation that people were hungry for God. Now, we don't see that today, but if the people become hungry for God, and that's a work of the Holy Spirit, then they'll listen to the gospel, and nobody can stop them from listening to the gospel. So please pray that God would send a hunger for God on the people in Kentucky, on the people in Texas, on the people in Australia, on the people in Ireland, and England and Scotland as well, and all these other countries, Wales, we love Wales, and how we long that a hunger for God would come on the people of Wales. The problem in all of these countries is this, that if that happens, there'll be so many people who are hungry for God, wonderful, and there'll be so few preachers who can teach them, but we at least have the internet at the moment that we can use for that. S. Thomas and Worcester. We pray for Worcester. Had some good times preaching the gospel in Worcester recently. And I think if that's what you're talking about, I thank the Lord for those times. And others have been preaching in Worcester as well. It's about 20 miles from here, and it's a beautiful cathedral town. Bernadette says, a woman rapped my door last week and told me she wanted to know God. Praise God. Praise God, Bernadette. Thank the Lord for that. Thank you, S. Thomas. And Ian Harris says, and that's wonderful, Bernadette. Yes, I agree. We agree. So let's keep praying that a hunger for God would come upon the people and that they would hear the gospel, they'd have ears to hear. When that happens, they won't be satisfied with Islam and they won't be satisfied with dead religion. Some of them will go off into the Catholic Church, of course, and other churches which don't teach the way of salvation according to the Bible. But when a hunger for God comes on people, they want what's true, they want what's real, they want what satisfies. And what satisfies is the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the Bible, the preaching of the Word of God. So I'm going to continue a series in Deuteronomy 28. And I'm sorry, that's the good bit, the bit that promises blessing for obedience. And I think, I hope we can see, although we're not a covenant nation like Israel in the Old Testament, nevertheless, these blessings show us how God works and how we can have an expectation of his blessing if we obey him. and yet we have not obeyed him. What terrible days we live in. What terrible days we live in. Well, Bernard, I pray that God would use you as salt and light there, and that people would get a hunger for the Bible, and that reading the Bible, they would come through on that. And I've done a reading of 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Charles Janicki, which is, I think, I don't come from a Catholic background myself, but I think it's a helpful book. He was a priest in the Catholic Church, and he became an evangelical Protestant at the age of 50. And it's a very revealing book, and that's on Sermon Audio at sermonaudio.com, 50 Years in the Church of Rome. If anybody's interested, then you're welcome to obviously listen to that. Amanda, I know you listened to it already, and thank you for your encouraging comments about that. So there's also a sequel called 40 Years in the Church of Christ, which I'm in the process of recording at the moment. Ian says Deuteronomy 28, yes, please. Well, and I think it's a really important passage because it sets out before us God's promise of blessing and his curses on those who disobey him. And as I say, Calvin found it extremely applicable in his day, and I did a whole series of sermons by Calvin on Deuteronomy 28. But I found Calvin speaking very much to the days in which he lived, which were very much focused on Catholicism and popery. And I felt that there's a need for an update, and we need to address these things to our day as well, where we have many other challenges in addition. John, I'm 5 minutes behind the live broadcast. God bless the born-again Christians in these days. Amen, John, every one of us, and we're precious to one another in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we share the same expectation of the Lord's return and the end of the age, and we are full of rejoicing and hopefulness for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ soon. Ian, Hyslop's The Two Babylons is worth the read. Ian, I've had that book for over 30 years and I've not managed to read it. I've dipped into it, but it's The Two Babylons by Ian Hyslop is meant to be one of the most definitive works exposing the relationship between Catholicism and the paganism of the Roman Empire before the Roman Empire became Christianized. I think I'm correct in saying that, Ian. So thanks for that recommendation. That's a good recommendation. Just have a quick look. I don't think it's on the shelf next to me here, so but if it was, I'd show it to you. I've got it somewhere, but I've not got it immediately to hand. So Two Babylons by Ian Hyslop. Yeah. So, yes. So any questions, criticisms, comments, and additions? Please feel free to respond if you wish to. I'm very grateful to the Lord for enabling me to do this. The next live session, God willing, will be Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. And then I'm not doing a Friday session this week, which will be the first time for a while. So I'm going to relax. So thank you, S. Thomas. Thank you. I hope to do open air work tomorrow, God willing. And because I would say the open air work is encouraging. I haven't seen the breakthrough yet, and I think not only I but others are reporting more people are listening and asking questions, and that's good. I think some of you know. Thank you, Brian. The Lord bless you in Kentucky, and thank you for your help as well, Brian, with this work. Brian has given us a bit of help, and I'm very thankful for that. And the in the realm of graphics and things, but. I think that the open air work has been an encouragement, but there's still some way to go with that. But so make melody in your heart. Thank you for your comment. Make melody. Thank you. Thank you for praying for this work. Please pray for the open air work. Please pray for the development of this work. It seems stagnant at the moment. It's not growing again, and that's in God's hands. But I find it very frustrating. In fact, the actual figures for subscriptions and such are going backwards. And while we can't trust those and we can't look to those, we must look to the Lord. I would love to see a growing ministry, and not a stagnant ministry. I don't know why that is either, because everybody else seems to get tens of thousands of subscribers easily, and I just don't seem to be growing in it. It gnaws on me a bit. Bernadette, thank you. Thank you, Bernard. I will keep saying, as long as God enables me to, I intend to do that. And that's my heart's desire to sow the seed, to preach the gospel. And of course, that can only come from a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm far from perfect. If I don't walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, I will have nothing to say. Amanda, thank you, Dr. David. Thank you. Thank you. If you want to, Amanda, please feel free to recommend 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Charles Janicki, but don't feel pressured. But thank you for your encouraging comments on that book. And I thought it was an important book. And very, very helpful. So thank you for your encouragement, everybody. I think Bryant, good evening and welcome. Thank you, Bryant, for your encouragement. Thank you, Bryant. That's very encouraging. The Lord bless you. I needed that comment, as well as everybody else's comments. A lot of you are encouraging me, and it does help. It does matter, and thank you for that. Yes, Brian says, as someone who has a small YouTube channel, it's much harder to grow it than one might think. Indeed, that's true. I can only leave that with the Lord. I can sit here, I can say things like, well, maybe if I dyed my hair fluorescent orange and put spectacular scenery behind me and everything, and I sort of think, well, no, I'm doing what God wants me to do, and none of those things would add anything to the quality of the message. In fact, they would detract from it. So we keep doing what we're doing. We're teaching the Word of God. We're meeting around the Word of God. We want to be fed. We are hungry for the Word of God. We are hungry for God. That's why we're here. And the rest is in God's hands. So my duty before God is to be faithful and to serve the Lord as He's called me to serve Him. And I believe this is one way in which I can do that. Kathy, thank you, Kathy, for your comments as well. And Joe, thank you for that. These are really encouraging comments. Thank you. And thank you so much for your comments. So Amanda says 50 Years in the Church of Rome is highly recommended. It's from somebody who knows intimately firsthand. So thank you for that recommendation for 50 Years in the Church of Rome, which can be found at sermonaudio.com. Just type 50 Years in the Church of Rome into the search bar and you'll find that series. As far as I'm concerned, it's worth listening to. It's not a great reading, but it's a great book and its material is really helpful. Hannah, thanks from Germany, and the Lord bless you in Germany, Hannah, and may the Lord have mercy upon your country and every true believer in Germany and your families, and help you, because I'm guessing it's not easy to be a Christian in Germany at times, just as it's not easy to be a Christian here. But the Lord bless you, Hannah. And well, Gavin, I'm not an error-free minister. Nobody's error-free. We must never just trust a minister, because if I started to teach error, would you notice? The fact that I'm sound today doesn't mean that I will be sound tomorrow. I must remain faithful, and I must constantly check myself and constantly ask myself if what I'm teaching is from the Bible. And but for the grace of God, I will fall into error. So many have. So I trust I'm not teaching you error, Gavin, but you must always search the scriptures and test these things, and that's how we grow strong in the Lord. But I'm glad you're learning. I'm glad you're learning, Gavin, and thank you for joining us. It's really great that you're with us, Gavin, so thank you. Thank you, Bryant. Thank you for your comments. Hope and healing. Thank you so much, Hope and Healing. Thank you, Gavin and Ian. Revolve, that's a revolving Bible church. A church going round and round in circles and people trying to jump on it and off it like a round. That's not what you meant, is it? Revolve Bible Church in USA is a wonderful channel run by once Roman, now Protestant. Well, that's good. That's great. Yeah. One thing I have found personally is that that when I have met Catholics, former Catholics rather, who've become Christians, they're on fire for God. And that's just... I just haven't met people who come out of the Roman Church and become Christians who have time to waste serving the Lord Jesus, not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It suggests that they've come out of a really great bondage and have found a really great deliverance. But what I find really difficult is with all those Christians I meet who say, oh, well, there are Christians in the Catholic Church. Well, why are there Christians in the Catholic Church? If they're not taught the truth, if they're following the Pope and doing all of these things, if they're taking Mass, how can they be Christians? And we love them and we want them to know the truth and we want them to understand the Bible and we want them to find the Lord Jesus Christ as he really is, not in bread and wine, but in the Bible and where he's today, on the very throne of heaven. Excuse me, yes, Brian, but clicking the like button is a help because the more likes a video gets, the more likely it is to be advertised by YouTube or other people's channels. So clicking the like button is a great help. And thank you to those of you who have done that. Subscribing, obviously, is as well. So Bernadette, thank you for that. Bernadette says it's such a privilege, and I believe you've come out of that background yourself, and I'm sure you have a wonderful testimony that you can share and do share with people, I'm so thankful to God that you're with us and that God has met with you and the Lord Jesus has found you and your eyes have been opened, and just like all of us, saved from your sins and saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith in him. Hope and healing in Jesus Christ. I'm struggling, tired, weary, sad, grieving, yet I'm still believing, hoping and holding on to Jesus. Well, thank you, hope and healing. And I'm glad you're holding on to the Lord Jesus. I think many of us can say we've been there. Some of us have been there many times. And I'm sorry to hear that you're grieving, stay close to the Lord Jesus. Stay close to the Savior. He will carry you. He will bring you through. I can speak from personal experience. He has brought me through on many occasions. And if we didn't have the Lord Jesus, to whom else would we go? If we didn't have the Lord Jesus, if we know him, who else will comfort us? Who else will keep us? Who else gives us hope in what seem to be hopeless situations in life? I'm sure many of us, including myself, have experience being betrayed and abandoned by people who are very close to us. The Lord Jesus will never betray us or abandon us. He loves us. He will keep us by his grace. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, a friend that we can turn to at any time, a friend who understands, and a friend who keeps us and has the power to keep us. Ian, by grace alone, in Jesus Christ alone, we are saved. Maranatha, amen, Ian. Grace alone, faith alone. Thank you, Ian and Kathy, for praying for me and for others here as well. Hope and healing, the Lord bless you, and others. There'll be others here feeling the same way. But the Lord Jesus keeps us in all of these things, and he'll be with us through the floods and the flames. He'll be with us in the deepest and darkest places that we can go through in life, even the valley of the shadow of death. He's with us. And you trust in him. I trust in him too. And he does have the power to keep us. He does keep us. So I'm going to call an end to it there. We've gone on well. Of course, there's no law that says I have to finish now, but I'm very grateful to those of you who joined us. My prayer is that what's been said would speak to us. Remember that God requires of our politicians that they serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only way. And pray that our country would turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ and stand up for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in your countries as well. But the Lord be with every one of us. The Lord be with you, and God bless you. Thank you for being with us this evening. And I'll just turn the camera off and leave it running for a minute so people can give their greetings to one another if they wish, or make any further comments. Thank you. The Lord bless you. Amen.